And I can't wait till that day when we all stand before the throne together and we all get to worship him as one people. And this morning we've asked Pastor Foster from Canton, Ohio to come. He pastors a multicultural church and has preached in multiple countries around the world. And he's no stranger to us, a very dear friend to our church. And I love him. He's a great man of God, but he's just a friend. And we love him so much. And I believe that the Lord has given him a word for us today. And so can we lift up the Lord one more time as he comes to share what God has laid upon his heart.
Good morning, everyone. What a privilege it is to be back my second home. I love this church. I do. And I always have so much fun preaching here. I told Pastor Brad, I said, man, I just love what I feel in this place this morning. God is doing something great here. That is quite evident I need something, Brad. Give me your, what is that? Is that your Bible? Give me that. You know it by heart, don't you? You don't need it. Sorry, he's one of my best friends, so we get to cutting up a little bit. But I have something I'm going to share, but what I'm going to say is important, I suppose, but more importantly, I feel like he wants to do something. That's really what I feel. I told Pastor Carpenter, I always make him nervous because he'll ask me to come preach, and when I get here, I say, so what do you want me to preach? I did that the last time I came. I walked into his office. I said, hey, come in here for a second. And I said, so what do you want me to preach? And he starts laughing. I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, what do you want me to preach? And so we were in his office and now, and I said, so what are you feeling? I said, I've been preaching for 30 years, right? So I got plenty of stuff. And I told people, I normally just try to fill after where God wants me to do, as opposed to what he wants me to say, because I got plenty of stuff that can help me say what I need to say, but I really want, God, tell me where you want to do today. And so what I told him, I really felt like I think God wants to, there's some deliverance and some ministry. I want you to leave here with victory today. And so I'm going to preach, but I want us to just continue to entertain the presence of the Lord, so that his perfect will can be done. Is that okay with you today? So let me first honor Brother and Sister Nichols. Good to see you. And good to see you as well, Abby. I mean, just an old friend. And then Pastor and Sister Carpenter, old friends. Glad to see you. Of course, the Dixons. I mean, there's so many of you who are my friends, all of you. You've been so welcoming and kind to me when I come. Glad to have my wife of 26 long, no, I'm just kidding, 26, 26 years. She is my favorite person to be with, and I mean that. I find there's no one else I enjoy being with more than my partner. And then my son, glad to have him. Amen. It was between him hanging out with his mom and dad. There was an event going on at the church for the youth and the hyphen, and he was him hauling around. I said, is it that bad to spend time with your parents? Hanging out with some old people for a little bit? Is it torture? And he finally relented and spent some time with mom and dad. Pray with me for a minute. Would you do it? Father, I love you today. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a carrier and a minister of the gospel, Lord. I will never take it for granted. I know I stand on holy ground today. And Lord, if you'll help me for the next few moments, Lord, deliver your powerful word. I know the truth sets men free. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you would just help me to build upon, Lord, what they've already established here this morning. They've already brought your presence here. They've already welcomed you here. Your anointing's already here. And so, Lord, help me to flow in that vein today and not disturb it, Lord, but simply just build upon the foundation, Lord. Let the heart receive your wonderful word today, and let there be liberty in the spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stand with me for another second. Let me read an opening text, and then I'll let you be seated. Acts 16 and 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the house, others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. God bless you. Thank you. And you may be seated. This is a message that I have preached before, and I just simply gave it a title called The Power of Prayer and Praise. The Power of Prayer and Praise. And grateful to be with you today and celebrating all nations and worldwide harvest. Grateful for the times that I have been out of the country and have traveled and seen things. So this story that we just read is one of the many stories that fill the action-packed book of the Bible that is called the Acts of the Apostles. It's action-packed. If you ever want to build your faith, this is certainly the book to read. It's also a great pattern for how the church, remember, that's you and me, the church, it's not necessarily a building, an organization, or a program, but the church, us. The book of Acts is a great pattern for how the church should look like and function. Miracles, signs, and wonders are prevalent in the book of Acts. These miracles and signs and wonders are done by the apostles. They're not just done by Jesus, as we had seen in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but now the miracles and signs and wonders are now being done by the apostles, who are now filled with the Holy Ghost and operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, this is just one of the many miracles also in the book of Acts. Demonstration of the supernatural. The book of Acts records the beginning of the church, the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, when the promise of God was to fill believers with his spirit, takes place. I know I did not give you guys the scriptures in the back, but we're going to still stay in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Everybody say amen to the Holy Ghost. As a result of Peter's message to those who had witnessed the 120 speaking in other tongues when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, in short order, another miracle takes place, in that several thousand were eventually baptized that day. Acts 2 and 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Come on, everybody say amen. The word is still good. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Everybody. He said, "This is for anybody who wants it." I'm sorry, I'm ADD, so sometimes I'll get messed up here in a minute. I got it bad. And we were in the bank one day and refinancing our mortgage or loan with one of the bank, and she goes, "Now, where are you guys?" I said, "We're the apostolics of Can." I said, "We're the weirdos who speak in tongues." And she said, "What?" She looked at me and she goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, we're the weirdos who speak in tongues." She goes, you do?" She goes, "I've heard of that." And I said, "Oh, yeah, we speak in tongues." She goes, I'm Catholic. I don't have." I said, "Ma'am, the Holy Ghost is for everybody." I kid you not, within 30 seconds of me talking, Bishop, she starts crying. She says, "I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is for you too." I said, "It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's for everybody." I was invited to speak at Malone University. I did not attend Malone University, but the Lord opened up a door for me to speak there, and it was a bunch of gentlemen. It was all men in the class, and they were all master's levels class pursuing ministry. Well, I got invited because they found out I was a weirdo, that I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and so they wanted to ask me about it. And I got grilled for about 2 hours straight. And Bishop, I was so nervous when I got called. My friend asked me, because he knew I was an apostolic Pentecostal and believe in the Holy Spirit and believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, "Hey, we got a class. We're studying. Would you be willing to come?" I said, "Absolutely." I said it boldly. But when I hung up the phone, I thought, "Oh, God." I did. I pulled out every David Bernard book I could find. And I felt like the Spirit said, "You got this." I was like, "Okay, Lord." And the Holy Ghost came on me in that class. And, man, I started talking. And somebody said, "Well, I don't understand. What are you saying?" And he said, "So when did this, who said this?" And I said, "I'll answer." And I did just like Jesus. I said, "I'll answer your question with a question." He goes, "Okay." I said, "Let me ask you this. Who changed the Bible?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "When did this change?" And he looked at me, and I said, "I'm going to tell you right now, gentlemen, if every one of you go back to your churches and start preaching the Holy Ghost, within 6 months, your whole congregation will be speaking in tongues." And one of the men lifted his hand. He did. He said, "Man, I feel something in here." He lifted his hand. Another guy who was a Mennonite, he goes, "I want to get with you after class." The Holy Ghost is for everybody. As many, the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message was baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What a powerful verses, what powerful verses of scripture. Two chapters into this book of the book of Acts, and it's already action-packed. Just one of the reasons why I so love the book of Acts. Another reason, again, is I believe it provides a pattern for the church today. Acts 2 and 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These verses, Acts 2, 42 through 47, provides an instruction and a pattern for us. It shows the importance of teaching. You need to be taught. You need to come together, come to the house of the Lord so that you can receive instruction. Fellowship is critically important, that we come together. Iron sharpens iron. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. You need to have prayer, corporate prayer, individual prayer. In these verses, it shows how we should expect wonders and miraculous signs. Listen, it's important for us to have preaching and teaching. It's important for us to come together and break bread and have fellowship. We should have prayer meetings. I think you should have a personal prayer closet. I think we should have corporate prayer. But all of that as well, we should have miracles, signs, and wonders. It ought to be expected. There ought to be this togetherness of believers that we see in these verses, and providing for those who are in need, assembling ourselves together. Thankfulness. Everybody say thankfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving soon enough. But there, a Christian or folks who gather, there ought to be an abundance of thankfulness in the heart of those who are living for God. And the Bible says they were praising God. And they had favor in their community. And because of all of those things, the Lord added to the church daily. Awesome. Again, this is how this book just starts. We see a lame man healed in chapter 3. A building is shaken during a prayer meeting in chapter 4. Sudden death of Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5. Imprisoned apostles freed by an angel in chapter 5 as well. Philip is transported to the desert like a Star Trek. Beam me up here. Philip is transported to the desert in chapter 8. Light and voice at Saul's conversion in chapter 9. Saul's blinded and then he's healed as well. Ananias is healed of paralysis in chapter 9. Dorcas restored to life in chapter 9. Herod's violent death in chapter 12. Elymas, the sorcerer, is blinded in chapter 13. Cripple in Lystra in chapter 14 is healed. Demons are cast out of a slave girl in chapter 16. You see what I mean here? And that just brings us up to our opening text, which we read at the beginning. Several more that I don't have time to mention. But I like the book of Acts because it builds faith as well as provides a pattern, as I said, of how things should be in our lives today. And this is why I chose this story in chapter 16 about Paul and Silas in prison, because I think it's a faith builder for sure, and a pattern for us to follow. And I hope that maybe if we can implement a few of these things for the next few moments, that we'll see some results of what the Lord wants to do. In our opening text, we see Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in prison because they cast a devil out of a fortune-telling slave girl. When they cast the devil out, the owners of the slave girl were upset because she was making money for them by being a fortune teller. So when Paul and Silas, when they cast this spirit out of this girl, it upset these men. And so they were able to persuade the government officials to arrest these guys. And this is where we pick up our story in Acts 16 and 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, one of the things that I find remarkable is the condition. Hear me. I won't be much longer. The condition in which Paul and Silas prayed and sang. Catch this. They were just thrown in prison. They're in prison. In shackles. But according to the preceding, and according to the preceding verses, they were stripped, beaten, and severely flogged. One translation I read when I was studying, it says they were beaten black and blue. Oh, man. Here they are in prison, beaten, stripped, and they decide to sing. Oh, I think, listen to this, church, and this is just, let me be pastoral for one second. We've got to stop basing how we pray and our prayer and our praise on our circumstance. That's why some of us don't ever get deliverance. It's because we only pray based upon our current circumstance. The simple truth of this scenario is that if their prayer and their praise was a part, or I'm sorry, that their prayer and praise was, it was a part of who they were. It was their root system. It was a part of their spiritual DNA. And so the only thing they knew to do was to instantly start giving God praise. We're going to pray to God, right? Hallelujah. What do you think about it? Instead of waiting for something to go right, why don't you praise him based upon who he is? Remember in verse 42 of chapter 2, we read they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. And then in verse 46, it says, every day they met in the temple courts, broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And by praising God, they enjoyed the favor of the Lord. They did not start a prayer life and learn to praise in a prison cell. After getting beat to a pulp, that's not when they learn to start calling on God and giving God praise. There's no better time to start praying and praising right now, and it is to do it right now. Dig your roots deep right now. Don't wait until you get in trouble. Praise God. I think this is something that will make a church strong, is when we develop praise, not just here, and prayer, not just here, but we learn to do it in our homes. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in verse 26, it says, suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. Now, well, let me just read this. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Oh, man. I feel like the Lord is directing us today that if we'll get this, prayer in our homes and prayer as individuals and praise as a staple, God will do this very thing for us. Come on, here's what happened in the story. That there they were in their circumstance, and they did, you know, listen, as a human, we think, man, this is as bad as it gets. What else could go wrong? Man, this is horrible. But what Paul and Silas knew was that God is great and greatly to be praised. And here's what I know. My circumstance might be horrible, but here's what I do. God is good, and he's good all the time. Come on, I'm trying to help you a little bit here. You see, the only reason why I'm standing today is I did not need a praise team or worship team to get me up. What I've learned is that I can do this in my own home. And so there have been many times and nights and mornings where I have danced around my home, and times where I'm in the church all by myself. And the Lord said, if you'll worship me, I will do something miraculous in your life. And so I'm telling somebody here, if you need a suddenly to come into your life, if you need a foundation of the prison doors open, I'm telling you to lift up high praise to God. If you know, I realize that some of us just don't need him that much right now. Maybe you're good. But I can't tell you how many times where I was so desperate for a move of God in my life. Where I felt so heavy. And see, here's what our natural thing is. Maybe this is not you, this is me. I'm the sinner. You guys are saints. But what I want to do is I want to complain. I do. Anybody ever, come on. Any other sinners want to join me as being a sinner here? Huh? Look, any other sinners in the house? I was preaching in Singapore, and if you know Pastor Timothy Lee, he's always up. I mean, he's a lot of energy. And we were preaching a youth conference, and it was actually I was in Malaysia when I was preaching this, but it was a combined youth conference in Malaysia and Singapore. And Brother Timothy Lee, man, he's just, and so now it's my turn. And I got up, and I said, so I need to make a confession. And everybody's looking at me, and I said, I'm the other Christian. And everybody's looking at me, and I said, I'm not him. I'm just going to confess I'm not always in a good mood. I told him, I said, I'm going to confess to you that sometimes I get angry. And there's times I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm frustrated with you. You say, how dare you? But the thing is, I told him, Lord, you already know. So there's no point in me lying about it. I do. I told him, this exactly. So you got to understand where I came from, okay? And how I got, I was a mess, okay, when I came into the church at 18. I was born in the church, but when I came back from backsliding, I was such a mess, there was no point in me pretending. And so I just prayed the real prayers to God. And I said, God, I'm angry at you. And I told him, I said, I'm angry at you. And I said, I mean no disrespect, but this is word for verbatim. I said, Lord, I mean no disrespect, but I'm angry. You already know I'm angry. So help me deal with it right, the right way. That's what I told him. I said, I'm just showing you my ugly that you already see. And I told him, I said, I know I don't want to feel like this. I know it's not right. So help me. See, this is the problem with some of us is we keep putting on masks. Take off your mask and let him see who you really are so that you can get fixed. See, I was a fool in the world. Seriously, I went to clubs. I did all kinds of crazy stuff. So when I come in the church, I'm not going to sit up here and act all professional. I just won't do it. I just won't do it because we didn't see when I was in the world, we were not embarrassed to stumble around drunk. act crazy at parties, but then when we come into church, it's like, preach the word, brother. Preach the word. There ain't no way. I will not give the world more than what I'm giving God. I just won't do it. I just won't do it. And so I'm not going to come in here and act like I got it all together. And I certainly won't do that to God. And so there's times. And so when I was in Singapore or Malaysia, I said, I'm that other Christian. That was the introduction to a message I had preached called Navigating the Feeling of Spiritual Abandonment. Because can I just say it? I know I'm off. Lord, I got to quit. What time did I start? I barely started preaching here. This is where we got to get honest, okay? Jesus, you know who he is, right? He said, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said that. He said, why did he say it? Because he felt forsaken. There's nothing more spiritual than that. As he felt like, you left me. But thank God that he let it out. See, only when you can get honest can you get healed. Amen. Boy, this took a turn. But can I just follow the Holy Ghost here for a second? Can I just flow in the Holy Ghost? Only when, and so, you know, I always tell people, I said, when you go to the doctor and you walk into the doctor, okay, the doctor will see you now and you get back there. And finally, well, first, this drives me nuts. Well, they first have the nurse or whoever comes in, and then the doctor comes and asks you the same questions. Like, I just told the other one in here. Well, I hate having to tell multiple people, like, yeah, this. But here's what you don't do. When you go into the doctor and he says, so, what's your name?
Ursula.
So, Ursula, why are you here? Oh, no reason. What's the first thing you ask? What's been going on? What's the problem? Because if you went into your doctor's office and you said, nothing, then guess how you'll leave? You got the same condition. You went in there to get some antibiotics. You went in there to get a cream. You went in there to get whatever. And if you go in there telling them nothing's wrong, then you ain't getting nothing, and you're going to leave the same way you came. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. But if you go in and say, Lord, listen, Lord, what did Jesus ask in the scripture? He goes, tell me what you want. What do you want? He said, I want to be healed. What do you want? What is it that you need from me? Well, I want to be healed. I want to be whole. That is what you're going to get. And so when you come in here, the one thing you got to do, and you come before God, you got to get transparent before him and say, Lord, I am a mess. I got all kinds of issues. And frankly, Lord, I know what your word says. Your word says you're faithful, but I'm just being honest with you, Lord. I feel like you haven't been faithful to me. And I know it's not true. And I do that. I say, Lord, I know it doesn't line up with your word. So help me push these thoughts out that tells me you've cheated me and that you're treating Rihanna and Ralph better than you're treating me. And so here's what you need to do. Do not do what's natural. Don't do what comes natural, because what comes natural is complaining. What comes natural is murmuring. But what doesn't come natural is blessing the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue. Come on, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my... Don't do what comes natural. Do what comes supernatural, and that is, I will walk by faith and not by sight. Oh man, see, that's how my miracles have come, Elder, is because I did not do what was natural. I did not do what came natural to me. And there's many, see, so many of us, we're waiting for lightning to flash and the thunder to roll in order for God to do miracles. But many of our miracles come by just doing the simple things that we're supposed to do. And so I try to tell our churches all the time, don't look at what's happening at any given moment to determine what you do. Do you hear what I said? Everybody knows if you've been in church long enough, today was a great service. But we don't know what next Sunday's going to be. Come on, let's just be honest. You know what I'm talking about, right, Ralph? There's days you just have a move of God, and next day it's like, man, is anybody here? Everybody, a bunch of deadheads. Huh? But see, that's what we do is we say, well, nobody's with it today, so I won't get with it. That's where we make a mistake. Huh? There's been times I've been in worship, and the Lord said, there's nobody worship. The Lord said, if you'll worship me right now, this is what I'll do for somebody else. Okay. I told y'all about the time I was preaching. I know I told y'all this story here before, but I was preaching down Columbus area. And I was preaching at a church, and I was the only dark thing in the place. The church was lily white. And I'm like, I just got to act professional here. I'm the preacher. So I'm like, okay, I'm already sticking out like a sore thumb. I don't want to stick out anymore. They're playing pretty close to like bluegrass. And I have no problem with bluegrass, okay? I make that point to say this. The only reason I said it, the Lord said, I want you to dance. I said, what? The Lord said, I want you to get off this platform and dance. I'm like, Lord. Those are the times you say, God, is that you or me? Is that God I'm hearing or is that you? The Lord said, get off this platform and dance. Now, okay, I don't know how to dance the bluegrass. Huh? I'm a brother, and we got a way of doing things. But I did what only I knew how to do. And so I got off the platform, and I danced. I just started worshiping the Lord, and I ran all over the place. And you say, well, what happened? All I know is we did have a move of God that day. But what I also believe is that if I will trust him and worship him no matter what, the days that I'm down, the days where I feel so heavy, it is those praise and prayers from the past that continually lifts me up. And I'm trying to get somebody in the... Come on, somebody. If you want something to change, then you need to change. You want something different, you better do something different. Well, I blew it this morning. I really tried to preach a good sermon, but I messed up already. What time did I get up here? Somebody tell me, please. I got up at what time? I got up at what? No. You need us suddenly? I do. I need a miracle. Anybody need a miracle? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't need one. I got family members that need miracles. They're being bound by witchcraft. I got marriages. I'm surrounded by marriages that are a mess, Elder. I'm starting to feel self-conscious. I had a gentleman call me right before I walked in here. A marriage that I'm counseling, and wife left him last night. He called me in a manic state last night. He called me this morning. I said, man, I'm in service. But they need miracles. Anybody need a miracle? Anybody need us suddenly? And then it says foundation of the prison doors. It says the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Come on, strongholds. I don't care what ran in your family. I could not care less. I know maybe your mom was an alcoholic and a dad was a pervert and you got folks dealing with all kinds of issues and those are family strongholds that get passed down, but it doesn't mean they gotta stay with you. That doesn't mean you have to... Come on, that doesn't mean you got to struggle with mental illness because your mom dealt with mental illness. That doesn't mean you got to be bound by depression, anxiety. Doesn't, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. See, this is the power of Christianity, is because it doesn't matter what you were in Christ, you have become a new creature. It doesn't matter what yesterday was. It doesn't matter what genealogy says and ancestry.com. What matters is His word. And this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a new day for me. Maybe you don't want victory, but I'll take it. It's a new opportunity. Oh, man, I wish I knew how to preach. Both of my grandfathers were they ran around on their wives. They one of them was an alcoholic. But I'm grateful today that I can stand here in victory today and say, thank God I am free. I've been made whole. I'm talking to somebody who needs a suddenly. He's saying, Lord, I just need you to do it. And I need my foundation, the shine of my prison doors open. I want to be free, Lord. Prison doors open, chains loosed. Hallelujah. There might be people in your life that have been spiritually blinded, but here's what I'm telling you. If you obey this principle of prayer and praise and say, Lord, I'm going to give myself to prayer and I'm going to praise you, Lord, like this is my last opportunity, the spiritually blind will see. I know I need to quit. I got to quit. Verse 25 says that other prisoners heard them. I love that. Oh, that the sound of prayer and praise would fill our mouths at home and here as well. Hello? Because if prayer would fill our mouths in our homes, and prayer and praise would fill our mouths in our homes, it will also fill our church. And make no mistake, see, I got to stop. I know some of you are done. I can tell. I can see it on your faces. You're over it. And I'm over it too. No. That which is of the spirit is the spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. Okay. And I'm just going to say this for some of you. You think I'm a weirdo. But read your Bible. I have casted out demons. I've prayed for people for them to be delivered. And I tell people, I said, there's a difference between spirit and flesh. Because if you're dealing with something in here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm dealing with some major shame. I just don't feel like I deserve the love of God. And I could start to ask some questions. Why do you feel that way? Well, you know, something happened to me. I've never been right since, and so on and so on. I believe there's enough Holy Ghost in here to deliver you. Amen. Now, you may not feel emotional, because that which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. Hello? I still remember it. We didn't even have kids yet. My wife and I had a little issue. And I was ticked off about it. And I started praying, and the gifts of the Spirit came to me, and the Lord told me, you ask your wife. There's something she's never told you, ever. She never told another individual. Ask her about it and tell her I'll heal her. So once I calmed down and heard the Holy Ghost, she walked in the bedroom. I said, babe, the Lord spoke to me and told me
There's something you need to tell me that you've never told another individual. And when you tell me, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and God's going to deliver you just like that. Didn't happen. And she told me in the most shameful, I mean, she didn't want to tell me. She never shared another individual. I said, okay, now lift your hands. God's going to deliver you. And when I laid my hands on her, something just, she said, I felt it. I felt it rip from me. Am I freaking you out? I hope I'm not. But this is why we're here. This is why we're here. Did you find a time clock when you walked in? Because that's not what this is about. Okay, I did my time. Clock in church, and then, okay, when it's up, I clock out. That's not God. There is no time clock in heaven. The Lord couldn't care less. That's not what he's doing. But the whole point is so that you can be free. That's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing is upon me to deliver you from those who are captive. Restore to sight those who are blind. Give at liberty those who have been bruised. That's why we're here today. And so don't make no mistake. There's a difference between spirit and flesh. And the Lord certainly wants to deliver your spirit. See, you can be baptized today, and you should. But I also know that those who have been baptized are still dealing with stuff. But But the Lord is able to deliver you from something. And so my point is this: stop looking with the flesh and understand the spirit goes beyond the flesh. And so when I praise him, elder, I'm not praying for what I just see in my flesh. I'm praying for what I know he can do spiritually. And so that's why I begin to honor God, because I have no idea what he's doing in heaven. I have no idea what's going on in the spirit realm. And so when it's time to worship, I'm worshiping. I'm giving God my all, because I don't know what that's going to equate for me. Please stand. I've preached long enough. Is this thing full? Spiritual prisoners. See, this is a story of physical prisoners, but I believe spiritual prisoners. When I came back to the Lord in 1995, I was 18 years old. And you know what I did, elder? I had had enough. I did. I told people, I said, I honestly, the only reason why I came that night is I just wanted to get sober. Because I thought, if I don't, I'm going to go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell, and I'm just going to die early. So I came there in 1995. What is that, 30 years? Holy cow, Reeves, I'm old. We went to high school together. And 30 years ago, but you know what I did, elder? You know what? You know. Let me reverse it. You know what I didn't do? I didn't come in that church. And when Bishop Ellis gave the altar call, I didn't just sit there embarrassed because I didn't want anybody to know what condition I was in. Mm-mm. I was over it. I was desperate. And so when he made the altar call, I shot up there. I lifted my hands. I probably had only been sober for a week, if that. I came and lifted my hands. And I said, I'm ready. I couldn't care less. What if everybody knows? Who cares? You can't get me to heaven. And you can't send me to hell. I had to save myself. Now, I did not know that that decision would result in me being a pastor. I told somebody, if you'd have told me I was going to be a pastor that day, I would have told you was smoking what I was smoking. I didn't know that I would marry a beautiful woman, that godly woman who was raised in church and she was 7 and have 3 godly children. And you say, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is, if I would have let my flesh and my eyes dictate, I would have missed out on God. Because see, the things of the spirit, they go beyond us.
So what do you mean? I believe just a simple, if the Lord told me to worship that day when I was in that church, when I was the only dark thing, I believe the results go generations. I really do. I really do. Because you did that, then your great-great-grandchildren will benefit from it.
Amen.
I do. I believe that. Because he probably did something in my spirit that day that I didn't even know I needed. Hello? Is this okay? I don't know. I'm not convinced. Go ahead, give me a little something. Just play. You don't sing, just play a little bit. Well, I guess I'm done. The jailer was baptized because of it. Him and his whole family were saved because Paul and Silas chose, I praise you, Lord. I will fill my mouth with praise. And I know they hear me. All these hardened criminals in here, and they see us couple of guys singing praises to God. All these rough dudes, and here's a couple of church boys in there. Huh? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his whole. Oh man, listen to those church boys. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. God, he is so good. God, he is so good. God, he is so good. He is so good to all over this house. If you need something to break in your life right now, I'm telling you, let's begin to give him praise. Hands stretched toward heaven. If you'll lay your pride down, because you can't get anything with pride. You can't get anything if you're so worried about what people are going to say. The Bible says he resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. Come on, all over this house, would you begin to lift up the name of the Lord? And you'd love to see the prison doors open in your own life and family's life and neighbor. Come on, praise for somebody else. If it's not for yourself. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. That's it. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord. These altars are open today. If you need something from the Lord, come on, let's fill this altar. And let's begin. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you, but we can do that. But I wonder today if we'll just have faith in God. Say, Lord, I will bless you at all times. I know things aren't perfect, God. Things aren't going the way I want them to go, but I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, because you're perfect. My life is broken, but you're, Lord, you are forever complete. You are whole. Oh, you're more than enough, oh God. Come on. Come on. That's it. Let's give him praise in this house. You're saying, I need a change, and your change is here today. You're saying, I need a miracle, then I'm telling your miracle's here today in the name of Jesus. Come on. What a mighty God we serve. Come on. Your change is here today. Your miracle's here today.